number 56.
Thank you.
Mr. Grisbrough, you come ahead and bring us that Bible reading.
Dean of reading this from the book of Psalms, Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, he is my defence. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies, they bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defence. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are alive. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, get not your heart upon them. Set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Amen.
Good verses. Amen. Thank you for that, Norman. Just want to remind everybody about the wee pink prayer list. Does anybody have any other prayer requests that they would like to add to the prayer list? We would like to ask you to pray for Jim Jackson, for the Jackson family, if you would. The funeral of the last remaining parent, Jim Jackson, will be tomorrow at 1:30 from St. Peter's.
2:00
at St. Peter's. So, so we pray that you would bear them in mind. Anybody got anything else they'd like to add by way of prayer requests? Are we all fixed for private? Have you got one?
Lynn, Frank is flying on Thursday night, Friday night.
What is Friday night?
31st.
Goodness. 31st of May. So it travels for Frank then on Friday. The Jackson family tomorrow at St. Peter's Church. I think that's the name of it. Just across the New Bridge. Appreciate your prayers there. Private prayer requests. Anybody got any? 1, 2, 3, 4. Anybody got anything you'd like to thank the Lord for and let the rest of us in on? Or just want to keep it all to yourselves? That'll do. I just want to say, Norman has down for restored energy.
Restored energy is good.
Some plenty of energy.
There's no problem with my energy. Just a sore side.
Yes, madam.
I have a blessing. I have a new computer. My dad was impressed with how quickly it got up and running. Because usually he doesn't have Mark there to do it for him, so. Blessing I take for granted.
Yes, indeed. Please do pray for Pearl as well, if you would. And Monica has down here, thanks for being able to be a help to her. We're not sure if Pearl has just taken a temporary setback or this is just her declining health, but we would appreciate your prayers for Pearl, if you would. She's been a Christian of many years, and we don't want anybody to have to go home to heaven, but as the Bible says, it's far better for us. We just don't know about it at this particular point in time. All we have here is the fact that we're walking and talking with God. But seeing him face to face, I think it'd be far better. Anything else? Sounds good. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we will sing another song. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all your many helps and blessings, for your word. Lord, thank you for each head that's bowed in your presence. And I pray, Lord, please, that you would honor each one of us, Lord, as we honor you. Just pray especially, Lord, for Pearl at this time, for Jim Jackson's family, Lord. Pray as well, Lord, for John's mom, Carol, as she deals with various health issues, for Norman and his back, for Frank as he prepares to travel home to visit his mum and dad here in Londonderry, and Lord, I think that we mentioned Pearl, but I pray for Pearl as well at this time. There are a lot of other prayer requests, and I pray for our sister churches, for our brothers and sisters across the world, for those that have stepped down, Lord, to step back up again, for those that have been hurt, Lord, for everyone. Lord, for your will to be done in our lives. I do pray as well for Israel. I pray that you would supernaturally protect them and bless them and provision them. And I pray, Lord, for those that walk the corridors of power across the world. For the 10 kings, Lord, that are just waiting, just champing at the bit to step up and to give their power to the devil for 1 hour. I pray, Lord, that you would thwart them at every turn, that you would, Lord, oppose them at every turn. I pray for President Trump in America, that you would be preparing his pathway, Lord, to the White House, and, Lord, that your hand would be heavy upon him, protecting him and keeping him and guiding him and directing him. And, Lord, that you would hinder all of those that hate you and your people. Please bless those that love you, Lord, and honor you. And Father, there's a lot needing done. There's a lot of folks need to hear the gospel, because fewer and fewer hear it as the years go on. Fewer and fewer know anything about it. But please, I pray, let your power and your word be evident in us. And Father, we want so to see it. So please, Lord, take all our works, all our words, and use them, Lord, to speak to people about their where they're going to be standing. Please bless Dr. Shine, Will, Christine and Mary Ann, Pat and Steve, Lord. And Lord, wherever it is that they are right now, and I pray, Lord, that you would, and for John, of course, and Catherine as well, we pray, Lord, please, that onwards and upwards. That's it, onwards and upwards. We love you and thank you, Father. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, according to your will. Amen. Amen. Paul. Let's take the wee black hymn books and turn to number 38. Number 38 in the little black book. 38, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds. This is 6. All right, we'll remain seated as we sing.
Sweet the name of Jesus, sons in heaven.
Amen. One last hymn from the big book. We will sing 410. 410. Lane, if you have a hymn that you would like for us to close with this evening, I'm more than happy.
245.
If you want to take a minute and think about it. The old account was settled. We'll do that one at the end. Hymn number 410, 410, Faith is the Victory. Let's stand as we sing this. Ezekiel chapter 33. Pray they've all had a good week. Even as they say that, it sounds a bit trite, seeing as Norman has a sore back and people are going through one thing and another. But I pray that even sometimes it's only in the difficult times when we run out of our own juice that we have to lean on the Lord that we realize just what a friend we have in Jesus. And I pray that in good times and bad, you thank him and you speak to him and you see what he has for you. But it's good to see you here. Amen. Ezekiel 33, the Word of God says, "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. And I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. And neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. And I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity. All his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge and give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, and he shall surely live. Yet the children of thy people say, The way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turn from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say, The way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his ways. Amen. A little bit tricky there just towards the end, but I hope and pray that all will be made clear, if it isn't so already, as we have a wee study through this parable, if you like, of the watchman. Let's have a quick prayer and then we'll continue. Thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to read and study your word. I pray that you would teach us the lessons that we all need to learn from it. Thank you for your word and for keeping it for us. Please bless the teaching and the reading and the studying and the memorizing and the speaking of it. And Lord, just the promotion of it throughout the world. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your promise to be one of our number. And I pray that you would and just go from person to person and give us what we need tonight. We love you and thank you. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Right. I am sure you have heard of this before. I have come across it quite a few times, spoken of it a few times. This might be nothing new, but it is a good reminder. There's nothing new in the Bible that wasn't there over the past 2,000 years that I am sure has not been preached 100 times. But in the words of the song, we need to hear the old, old story, for we forget very soon. Now, as we read about this, many people would claim that God is the watchman because he watches for our souls. And in a way, he does, because as the Word of God said towards the end of the Old Testament, the Lord in the last days would pour out his Spirit upon all men, convicting those that are lost of their need for salvation because of sin and judgment that is coming, but also empowering and helping and strengthening those that love him and have trusted him, and blessing and helping them through their lives. The God that has saved their souls provided for us a free to us salvation, for the bargain price of turning away from our sins, of course. He has provided an open ear for us so that we can pray. He loves us so much he can't help but pay attention to us and listen to us. He has preserved this word for us. This word that we look at tonight is about 3,000 years old. And it still applies to us today. He sends angels to minister to us, to help us, to give us all of these coincidences that people say Christians seem to have in their lives. And he gives each soul that accepts him friend that sticketh close in the brother of the Holy Spirit. That's the wee bit that saves you and keeps you and is your broadband connection to God, if you want to put it that way. He beats Elon Musk in giving us actual intelligence, even though many times it's not used, and the most complex computer in the world, again stuck in a bone case, unfortunately many times not used either. More than that, he gives us free rein to do whatever we like. He gives us our conscience, and we get an odd reminder about things as we go through life from time to time. And we can do whatever we like. Of course, there are consequences for doing the wrong things, and there are blessings and helps when we do the right things. It really is that simple. He blesses us, he helps us, he comforts us, he gives us strength. He'll even straighten us out when we're wrong. Sometimes that's not pleasant. And he has wisdom by the truckload, all for us. And with all of that that he gives us and many other helps and directions, this is what he said: go and preach the gospel to every creature. It's us that are the watchmen. And this parable, which is not actually a parable but more of an example, because these things actually happen, he speaks of a man that is charged with the security of his city. And the man, this watchman, he would sit in a high tower. Someone would come and bring him his food maybe every couple of days. His job was to watch for enemies coming in. They didn't have satellite clearance or satellite surveillance. And didn't have wee drones flying around the sky with infrared cameras that would show up the enemy. Or was a bloke with good eyesight and a good set of lungs and a horn. And the whole idea was that if he saw the enemy coming, he would blow the horn. And that horn, when anybody ever heard it, that was the warning: the enemy is coming, prepare yourselves. And just like every other situation in life, people can do one of two things. You can prepare yourself, or you can not prepare yourself. And the Bible says that man's job was to blow the trumpet, to blow the horn. That was it. It wasn't his job to drag people into the city. It wasn't his job to secure the gates. His job was to blow the trumpet. And if anybody listened to him and they made themselves ready, they saved their lives, job done. But if anybody heard the trumpet blow and didn't listen and just went about their business and the enemy came in and killed them or captured them or stole their family or raided their land, whatever it was, that's on them. The man blew the trumpet, he did his job. If anybody doesn't listen, that's on them. However, if the man saw the enemy coming and didn't blow the horn or didn't blow the trumpet, nobody knew. The enemy comes in like a flood and destroys everything before them. That's on the trumpeter. The Bible says the blood of everyone that lost their lives in that case would be upon the man that blew the trumpet. And that's what we are to be. I don't know if you can take the small step from blowing a trumpet, seeing the enemy, knowing that there is a limited amount of time in which to act, and apply that even to today as we look out, as we see Israel restored, as we see the coming of the 10 world kingdoms, as we see wickedness abounding on every hand, even as we see, as the Bible, as the Lord said in the last days, that a man's foes would be them of his own household. As we see the increase in knowledge and the increase in technology and the increase of effectiveness of the weapons that we use. All of these things and so much more. It's like the enemy rolling in over the hills. And it is you and I that know, that are saved, that are going to heaven, that have had a little waltz through this book once or twice and understand that, right? The Lord's, there's literally nothing else to happen in the Bible before the Lord comes back for us in the air. The Lord is being very gracious. It's not that he's saying it's okay to do bad things. He's saying, even though those gulpings are being bad, they've still got souls that need to be saved. Give them another chance. Give them another couple of years. Even though the day might be put off. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Every single lost person that has ever drawn breath in this world and stepped off into eternity, their end came very suddenly. They weren't looking for it, they weren't wanting it, and they weren't prepared for it, but they had been warned. Friends, that's our God. We're the watchmen. We're the watchmen of our family's souls. We're the watchmen of our neighbor's souls, of our countrymen's souls, of the souls of anybody that the Lord ever puts us across. And it is entirely up to us what we do with the time that we have with those people. And that is why the Lord said as he went up to heaven, remember the last thing he said to the disciples, "Go ye forth into all the world, preaching the gospel to every creature, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." That's why the Lord said that. Because he dwells within us. The Holy Spirit is our constant friend and companion and guide. He delivers us the words that we need as and when we need them. He's promised to do that. And he's promised to help us grow to the point where we really don't care what other people think about the fact that we're Christians and we don't mind speaking about God. He's given us that too. He's given us the foresight, or maybe the long vision, to understand that not saying something just for the sake of peace and quiet. Do you see when moms and dads or people say, "Oh, anything for peace and quiet"? Our government's been saying that for months. Anything for peace and quiet will not bother these Palestinian protests. Palestine doesn't exist. It's Gaza or it's Israel. Palestine, the country, ceased to exist 76 years ago. I saw a very good map on Facebook and I actually copied and pasted it into onto my computer, and it said where Palestine is. and it was somewhere near between Mordor and Narnia. In other words, it was a fictional country. Anyway, God uses you and me in our capacity as Bible-believing Christians, sons and daughters of the King of Kings, to pass on his message. We read on the rest of the chapter that we did read. We see about God's desire to save folks. Now, I know you and me, or you and I, probably I know me. No, you and me, that's right. I know you and me. I know me. I know I. Yep. Getting there. I am sure we have in the back of our minds a list of people who need to be put up against the wall and either beaten with sticks or put to death for the things that they have done. Maybe we don't know them personally, but there are people in the world that have taken many, many lives and in the grand scheme of things have forfeited their own. But all that God sees is saved sinners and lost sinners. There's no great saved sinners and there's no great lost sinners. It's saved sinners and lost sinners. I've been working back over James, and there's a great little verse in James, I think it's James 2 and 9, where it says, "Whosoever shall keep the whole law but offend in one point, he's guilty of the whole law." So as far as God's concerned, the penalty for breaking his law, whether you kill somebody, commit adultery, or tell a lie, the penalty is death. So whether you've murdered hundreds of thousands of souls, or whether you just steal off of stationery supplies, you're still a sinner in God's eyes. And I know that is difficult for us to grasp a hold of from time to time. But even the scum of the earth, or people that get that title, that epithet from our lips, they still have souls that God loves. And they need to hear the gospel from us. Or from somebody else. You might not feel like it. You might want to actually see them come a cropper. But like Jonah sitting and waiting for Nineveh to be toasted from on high. But people need to hear the gospel. And the Lord said, if wicked people get saved, that's great. But it also says that good folks, if they just being good is not enough. You need to be saved. Whether you're good or whether you're bad. I know there are many sad tales in the Word of God. Especially if you start reading Samuel. And you read on in Kings. About men that started very, very well. Literally visited by God. Touched by the Holy Spirit. You need to understand, people in the Old Testament did not have the Holy Spirit with them all the time. Things back then weren't as bad, spiritually speaking, as they are today. We need the Holy Spirit with us all. The Holy Spirit came upon Samson and gave him great strength and left him again. That's what the Holy Spirit did for Samson. The Holy Spirit came upon Saul and David and even Solomon in the early days and touched them with wisdom, with fearlessness and faith in God, and great stature for Saul at the very, very beginning, and left again. Friends, you can start well, and you can keep going well, and you can end well. All you got to do is keep your eyes on the Lord. Now, I don't know what is going to make a difference to somebody in their life. Whether it will be a grand miracle. Whether it will be one of those coincidences that we mentioned. Things just working out perfectly for some. Or whether it will even be just a word. For me it was a word. I was like Nathaniel or Nathan. I think it was Nathan who sat under the fig tree whenever his brother came and told him about finding the Messiah, and Jesus said, "I saw you sitting under the fig tree." And he said, that's just about impossible. That is impossible. And he got down on his hands and knees and he he praised the Lord. That was me. God spoke to me like that. I don't know what it takes to make a difference in other people's lives, but the Lord does. And when we are found faithful, telling folks, doesn't mean you have to have a sandwich board on and a loudspeaker and every word out of your mouth has to come from a verse of the Bible. That is not what that means. You can do that if you want. I'd be more than happy to stand with you or stand in for you whenever you get tired of preaching after half an hour. But even just as you go about your daily lives, there might be an opportunity. It's not just you. The whole of creation, the Bible itself, the wee bits of leaflets that people put in through people's doors or thrust into their hands. Maybe one of those guys that stands at the corner of Woolworths or up on the corner of a car park preaching the gospel. The old hymns, godly songs, they all help to point people to God. I'm going to tell you something. I was accused of not showing or preaching on the love of God enough. So here it is. Jesus has a love that we can't understand. He loves us. He loves his creation. Yes, there are some people that act a maggot and will be opposed by God in this life. And they will be opposed all their lives until they shape up and trust Christ as their Savior or step off into eternity. That's entirely up to them. But God has a love for us that is so great that he extended this invitation to the whole world, and that means the people that were looking, the people that weren't looking, and the people that were purposely looking the other way. And whenever you get saved, you have a taste of that same love in your account. And that same love that Christ had for us, you and I can show to kings and rulers and judges, policemen, teachers, ministers, boys and girls, shop assistants, as well as the thieves, the liars and robbers. And it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference when the things that are so important to them and realize that aren't important at all have no effect on you whatsoever. And it'll help souls to see the difference that Christ makes in a life. More importantly, that they can have that as well. Whether it's a full sermon, a word in season, the words of a hymn, or the deeds of a Bible believing Christian, the Lord knows what lost souls need to see and hear in us. And they'll glorify our Father in heaven, because that's why we do it. It's not so that I can't see it, people. I can just point to the man that can. But they need to hear the word of God. You and I need to hear the word of God. As it helps us each day and points them, convicts lost souls of sin and judgment to come and points the way to eternity. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You and I also know there are individuals in the world that have no intention of ever getting saved. None whatsoever. They're out there living high off the hog. Maybe they're drinking, smoking, doing drugs, sleeping around the country, robbing people blind, killing, getting away with murder. People like that everywhere. And if there's one stink that can't get away with it, you can be sure that they're doing all those things up there in their heads. But when it comes right down to it, regardless of what they do, if they don't want the Word of God, the very Spirit and conviction of God that you and I carry with us, that's fine. That's entirely up to them. As long as you have sounded the warning, they've ignored it, your hands are clean. If they do listen, good news. pray with him and just tell him, look, I ask God to save my soul, and if you ask him and you really mean it from the bottom of your heart, he'll save yours too. Some might say that's for the old days. And don't forget, the last words that were put in the Bible were put there 2,000 years ago, and these ones are about 3,000 years old. But I am telling you here today, there should be a 5-alarm fire bells going for all of the prophecies in God's word that have come true and are coming true even as we speak. That would be the equivalent of an enemy army rampaging across the hills, and that wee man in that watchtower blowing that trumpet for all he's worth. Some folks are going to meet God a lot sooner than we think. Maybe when the Lord comes back for us, could be tonight. We're not having all our care in the world. Some folks are going to be caught up. A lot of folks are going to be caught out. But whether they are or not, let you and I be found faithful. Let us be found to be the good children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the saved souls that his Son gave his life for on the cross of Calvary for. I'm reminded of the words of Joshua, I think it's Joshua 24. Said, choose who you're going to serve. Will it be the things that you used to worship? Or will it be the things that everybody around and about you worships? Choose. But regardless of what you choose, me and my house will serve the Lord. So I pray that you do. Pray for the strength to do it, and the wisdom and the foresight to do it, and for the saving souls as you do it. God bless you. Thank you for your good time this evening. Ezekiel 33. Have a wee read out of yourselves. That is about the watch. All right. Going to sing number 245. Yep, 245. The old account was sad. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing. And this will be our closing hymn.
For saints and for them, my name was on.
Thank you for your good time and attention this season. God bless you. Safe travels, recuperations, and so on and so forth. Thank you for coming out, Mike. We appreciate the tight schedule of a Wednesday evening. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this little bit of time set aside for the world. Please bless us as we go our separate ways, and please see us safely home and back at the next appointed time. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen.